Don't ever let unworthiness get on you. The reason why he presents you faultless because of what he did, and it's really injustice to the blood of Jesus to go to the Father and say, you're not worthy. It sounds good, it sounds religious, but the Father doesn't like that. Because of the depth of the price his Son paid for you to be with him, with the Father, if you come to him unworthy, you're saying it wasn't enough. And it is plenty to get you all the way into the bosom of the Father. Amen. As you know, we've been in the bosom of the Father. We've been in the right hand of the Father. It's an incredible unfolding revelation that we as the people of God, the church, the bride, must come in to our inheritance. You're a partaker of the heavenly calling. You're a partaker of the inheritance of the saints and the light. And our high priest passed into the heavens. And we passed into the heavens with him. Your old man died. He was crucified. He was buried with Christ. But the new man was ascended with him. When he went into the right hand, your new man went in there with him. You were raised together with him. You were ascended together with him. In resurrection life, and he sets you down in heavenly places, and you have to learn to access that realm, not just through knowledge. It's a very real place. That's where the Father is going to love you. He'll love you here by visitation, but that's his home. If you want habitation, you have to be with him. Amen? You have to go to him. But as much as I don't like to do this, we're right in the middle of teaching you to ascend, but part of the way the Lord works with me, he keeps me way out there, you know. And he's taking me already to the next level. I said, Lord, we haven't got that one done yet. And he said, I understand that, but you got to set the word now. You have to set the vision. You have to establish that place. So today, it's a prophetic in nature. It's going to be pretty neat. So we're going to jump right in. Go to Colossians 1, 27. And Luke 17 says this. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Well, that was Luke 17, 21, but we're going to Colossians. Remember that the kingdom of God is within you. This is going to be a difficult thing. Jesus looked up. He ascended to his Father, but his Father also lived and abided within him. The Father was in him. He says, the Father that doeth the works, he dwelleth in me. You can touch God really both ways. You're touching the same place. I'll share this with you. I'm going to have an imaginary chalkboard. See this circle right here? That's Earth. Okay? It's a big round ball. Okay? We have me on the North Pole. Imagine me on the North Pole doing this. I'm looking up, right? Worshiping God. So God, if the heavens are this way. Amen? Now on the South Pole, Chuck's on the South Pole. And imagine I'm like this, but on the South Pole, I'm looking at his feet. I'm looking down, but he's on the South Pole. Just imagine that flipped, you know. He's on the South Pole like that. But heaven to him is up. Understand that? But it's down to me. You see that perspective? Then you've got east and west and all that way, you see? So heaven can be that way. See that? Okay, if a guy, let's see, north, south, east, west. Let's say a guy's on the east. He's facing like that, right? Okay, so heaven's that way to him. But it's up to him. From my perspective in the north, I'm here. From his perspective, because of gravity, he's bound to an earth, he's up. So to me, if I was approaching his open heaven, I'd be going that way. You follow me? If I'm approaching a guy on the west, I'd be going that way. If I was going to be down where Chuck's at, I'd be going that way. You see that? That's because of gravity, the effects of gravity and the law of sin and death that still operates in your body. those two forces of natural gravity and the loss in that which is flesh give you the perspective that heaven is up, because heaven is up. You see that? The spiritual realm is all encompassing. So when you're breaking into the right hand of the Father, it feels like you're going up because you are ascending, because you're ascending. And the reason God's doing that, because he's trying to teach you how to break gravity. It's not with your body. Your body's not going to float out there, but there is an operation, translation, but we're not there right now. Amen. We're trying to get your spirit into the right hand. The right hand of God is not of this world. Okay. The right hand of God is not of this system. All right. It's another system, but your spirit is seated into the right hand of God. Cause when he raised him up, he raised you up with him, made you sat down in the right hand of God in heavenly places. So your spirit has the access, but you got to learn to move into that dimension. Your spirit can move there freely, but it requires faith to get there. Amen. But the reason I shared that vision is because really there's no time or space in the realm of the spirit. It feels like it is up, and it's better to feel like you're going that way because you're going against gravity that pulls you down, and flesh, the law of sin and death pulls you down, which would be pulling Chuck up if he's down in the south. You get that? If he's down in the south, he's going this way. So it's all perspective. All right. Another perspective is the kingdom of God. This is a very difficult perspective within. The kingdom of God is within you. Paul said, I have been made a minister of the mystery of Christ that's been hidden in God from ages, which is Christ in you. Everyone say Christ in you. Now, the reason why God doesn't try to get you approaching the kingdom that way is because we are by nature selfish people. We're by nature self-centered. Until Christ has formed us, we're self-centered. So when you try to start breaking into the kingdom within, you also get in touch with that self-centeredness. So what he tries to do is try to get you to kind of go this way, because you're breaking out of the jurisdictional boundaries of your flesh and the jurisdictional boundaries of the gravity or the atmospheric realm we live in. You understand that? And then also you have the second heaven, which is, you know, the demonic realm. We don't want no place there. You follow me? Have I blown you away? Okay, now I want to talk to you today about the kingdom within. I'm going to tell you this. Revival, first world glory, the anointing without measure, all is going to flow out of the kingdom within. First world glory, revival, the anointing without measure in the last days will not come by way of the operation of the gifts. You need to understand that. I can't have time to teach you that. That's the Corinthian model that's given to a carnal church for God to express the heavens through carnality until the carnality grows up. If you want to meditate, the Corinthian model, declare to the house of the clothed, there be divisions. Chapter 3. He goes, hitherto I want to give you meat, but I've got to give you milk because of the divisions. Chapter 5, fornication. Chapter 6, suing one another at the law. Chapter 9, idolatry. Chapter 11, division at the communion table. Chapter 12, gifts, administrations, offices. Chapter 13, covet all of this operation of the gifts where the Holy Spirit will regulate that kind of operation. But I'll show you a more excellent way. And when you grow up, you'll move out of operating in part and you'll operate in fullness. What we're after is fullness. A revival that operates in part, that's what you're going to get, part. Revival in parts very rarely last because they're built on the gift realm, and the realm of the gifts doesn't require the same level of accountability as what we're going to talk about, the kingdom flowing from within. Now, this one that flows from within, this is most powerful. All right, all that was leading you to what I'm about to say now. Colossians, verse 27, 1:27, whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among you, which is Christ in you. All right? I want to say Christ in you. Now, go over to John 14 now. John 14, look at verse 20. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. That's the perspective you're going to get when you're ascending. You're in Him. You're ascended into Him. You're seated with Him in heavenly places, raised together, made to sit. So you ascend into Him, and then He and you are in the Father. That's the oneness. You're brought into that. And then the Father, as He loves Him, He loves you. And you have the capacity to receive that love. The other perspective He gives you is Christ in you. In verse 23, and Jesus answered and said unto him, they asked Him, He said, if a man will love me, he'll keep my commandments. And I'll tell you, the commandments was He was asking them to come through the cross, to follow Him through the cross, to keep His word, follow Him on through, receive the inheritance of the born again Spirit, receive the new creation. And He says, if man keep my commandments, we will come and manifest ourselves to him. This is verse 22. And Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself? He's trying to describe an operation. It's not even in the earth yet. You have to remember that. And they're spiritually dead. Nicodemus already, his mind boggled at it. So he's going to try to tell him what he's talking about. He said, how are you going to manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? In verse 23, Jesus answered and said, if a man will love me, he will keep my words. Now, the words He spoke, there's a lot of words He spoke in all the chapters previous, but mainly it's the one that followed Him into the cross. See? If a man serve me, let him follow me, that he may be with me where I am. And He followed Him through the cross, and you're with Him where He is. Okay? Now look at verse 23. And my Father will love him, and we. I wouldn't say we. Five verses earlier, He said, the Holy Spirit is with you and shall be in you. Y'all see that? So the Holy Spirit, where is He going to be? In you. Now watch this. And my Father will love him, last part of verse 23. And we will come unto him and make our abode. Say we. That means Father and Son. That means Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are also in you. They house within the kingdom of God within. You are a temple of the living God. The indwelling presence of the Most High dwells within. Now, God can walk around in you for 100 years and you not know it. God can be in you. You can cut Him off, shut Him off, or not know how to connect. God's in there. It automatically shows up like in corporate. Glory comes in. Woo! But if you live in the flesh all day long, you won't know that God's there. If you don't know how to connect, and there's the levels of connection, how you connect to that is through and by the word of the Lord. Amen. But the better way to connect into the right hand first is through ascension. All right. It's very important you understand how to break out of a jurisdiction. Look at verse 8, John 14. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. That was a wrong question. Jesus said to him, have I been with you such a long time? Have you not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest then, show us the Father? I told you. He only said it about 15 times in the book of John. I don't come of myself. I don't speak of myself. I do not represent myself. I represent another. He sent me. I can amone self, do nothing. This is the Jesus himself saying this. He could have, but he didn't take that role. He was sent from the Father. Amen. He says, believest thou not that I'm in the Father and the Father me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Moreover, the Father that dwelleth in me, he's doing the works. Who's doing the works? Who healed the blind? Who raised the dead? Who healed the impotent man of 38 years old? Holy Spirit anointed the Father in Christ. The Father was doing the works. He chose to be a vessel. Isn't that amazing? That's a perspective that's not normally taught. Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself. I did not come to represent my... That's hugely important. Now watch this, verse 11. Believe me that I'm in the Father. Believe me. And the Father's in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. This included blind, deaf, maimed, lame, raising of the dead, healing of the impotent man of 38 years old, withered hands, halt, withered, you name it. Anything that dealt with disease, sickness, infirmity, cast out devil, all that was done, you shall do also. It'd be nice if we actually did that also, amen? But we have to understand where that operation comes from. I know every one of you have been born again, spirit-filled, full gospel. Full gospel. You ever laid your hands on somebody and just screamed, hollered, yelled, try to get a devil out of somebody? I said in the name! You know, try to do all that, nothing happened. Then you have to send them on their way. Well, you know, then you got to tell them, well, you know, sometimes you'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover over time. You know, you have to send them away. You know, surely you're not the problem. You know, it was their faith. You know, it had to been the problem. Yeah, sure. Little boy born in a wheelchair. Yeah, he's going to have a lot of faith, isn't he? He's born into a circumstance from day one. Where do you think he's going to get his faith from? He's going to get his faith from seeing somebody else get healed. God's going to require us to have that kind of faith. But it's not about the knowledge that Jesus is our healer. The knowledge of his healer, and even the gift realm, if you ever run around with somebody that operates in the gifts like that, you'll see that their gift is limited. It always has a ceiling on it. It very rarely moves past that ceiling because it's severally as the Holy Spirit, because there's another operation we haven't come into yet. That's what the Lord's training us for now. This operation requires a lot of training because attached with it is called fullness. Attached with it is the anointing without measure. It's very powerful. It'll shake cities down to the knees. This kind of operation will get the attention of the world and everybody in it, because the level of the miraculous and the creative that'll come out of this operation will shake the world up. Amen? That's what he's after in us. He says, you'll do these works. He makes it sound so easy. It is kind of easy once you get over there. You know when they lowered the paralytic down into the room, tore Peter's house, the roof off his house, and lowered the paralytic down? And Jesus put him right in front of the Pharisees, the doctors, and the lawyers, put him right in front. And he said, which is easier? You tell me, to say thy sins be forgiven or to rise up and walk? None of them said a word. He says that you may know the Son of Man has power to forgive sin. Rise up and walk. He goes. Right now, it's easier for us to lead somebody. Now, watch this. This is very important. Verily, I say to you, verse 12, that he believeth on me, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these. Oh, here we go, the greater works. Because I go unto my Father. Everyone's got their opinion on the greater works. Well, you're going to do more. How much more are you going to do with him? He said the world's books couldn't contain what he did. What kind of greater work? Well, we'll do more of them. Okay, that's good. You can't do anything. You're not going to top his miracles. How are you going to top his? He just said in the previous verse, you would do them. But then greater than these. The greater than these, he goes, because I go to the Father, I'm going to give you an administration that I can't even do, is what he's saying. All right. To understand the greater works, we'll see where he referenced it. John 5. Go to John 5. This is real important because this is going to open the gate. Do you know when a woman is about to ready to give birth, her water breaks? When we give birth, the water is going to break. The water within is going to break. When we learn to break the water, the same faith it took to ascend into the heavens, you can strike the rock within you. Anyway, that's where we're going here. When you strike the rock, It's all there. It's going to take faith, but he's got a whole lot of word to feed your faith. Amen. John 5, verse 15. The man departed. This is the man that was healed. He was impotent 38 years. I don't know why. There was a lot of impotent folks there, but that man was healed that day. 38 years. He got the Lord's attention. Maybe because he suffered the most. I don't know. I'm just a little bit older than 38 years. Not very much. But I couldn't imagine living 38 years on a bed waiting for someone to put me in a pool when an angel would come by. You know how long they would wait out there day in and day out? The angel came by seasonal, and he'd stir the waters everywhere you went. I remember when Chuck decided he wanted to be speed racer on Lake Conroe, and him and Jimmy had a collision, and you know, Chuck said, I'll be fine, just take me home, take me home. Well, we took him to the hospital, cracked ribs, broke pelvis, three or four cracked ribs, and you know, he's like, I'll be fine, just take me home. He had no idea. He was all busted up, and he had to spend like a month and a half, 2 months, in one of these, was it a nursing home? But he said these people had to take care of him. He said it was so embarrassing that you had to go to the bathroom. You had someone have to come and help you, and all your life. I can't imagine that. The Lord doesn't want that. He wants to do something about that. But you can't keep going the way the church is going and think it's just going to show up. Everyone's got this sovereignty issue where God's just going to fall. Well, who's he going to fall on? If that vessel's not been prepared to carry that kind of glory, that wineskin will break in front of the nation. How many times have we seen that? The wineskin keeps breaking because the vessel wasn't prepared. There's a preparation for that kind of operation. Sovereignly was already released when he said, the works that I do, you'll do also. My glory, I give this to you. What I walked in, you walk, but I'm going to have to prepare you to walk in this. You're going to have a little bit of wisdom. No, I rephrase that. You're going to have a lot of wisdom. Amen. It requires a lot. Anybody tell you that realm is easy? Do not know what they're talking about. 16, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, 5:16, and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. And Jesus said, my Father worked hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought to kill him more. That's why he said to these guys, he goes, where I'm going, you can't come. He told them in John 14, he's telling Peter, he goes, well, I told the Jews where I go, they could not come. He goes, but you can come, but not now. And Peter said, I'm coming now. He says, no, you can't. I got to go to the cross. He says, man, follow me. He'll be with me where I am. But these guys couldn't come. They wanted to kill him. And this is why no man can come unto me unless the Father draw him. This is who he's talking about. The Father, you got murder and hatred. Now, God will save a murderer and a hatred all day long, but they have to surrender. But if they are challenging the one and want to kill the one that the Father sent, he says, if you do not honor the Son, you don't honor the Father. He says, you have to honor me, and the Father won't even draw you to me with that kind of thing in your heart. 19, Jesus said, I'm verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. What he seeth the Father do, for whatsoever things he doeth, these doeth the Son. Now watch this, saying kind of what he said in 14. Look at this again, very important. Then answered Jesus, said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for whatsoever things he doeth, these also doeth the Son. The Father loveth the Son, and show him all things himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. What greater work than a man being healed of impotency for 38 years? He said, he'll show you greater than this that you may marvel. So here again, he's speaking of this greater work, but this time he's going to tell you what that greater work is. Here's the greater work. Verse 21, for as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, the word them should be italicized. That was not included in the original translation. So let's read it without them. Verse 21, as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth, Even so, the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but committeth all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which sent him. Verily I say to you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Look at that. What's he asking you to believe? Believe on him that sent me. Believe on him, the Father, that sent me. To believe in the Son, you must believe on the one that sent him, he that believeth on me. You have to understand his mission. I come not to represent myself, but the one who sent me. If you believe on him that sent me, have everlasting life. Eternal life. We've reduced everlasting life and eternal life to salvation. Salvation's your gate. Everlasting life and eternal life is what that is. It's an eternal wellspring of living water. That if we learn to release it, it'll break open. When the water breaks, revival's on. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say to he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Colossians says, translated, delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom, right there. Translated into the kingdom. Look at this, verse 25. This is a great mystery, by the way. I'm still into the greater works here, by the way. Verse 25, verily, verily, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is. Say, the hour is coming and now is. I want you to look at verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. Look at in verse 38. Verse 28, he didn't say the hour is coming and now is. He said in verse 25, the hour is coming and now is. Verse 28, he said the hour is coming. Verily I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, that the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. As the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. The hour is coming and now is, the dead will now hear the voice of the Son of God. For the law and the prophets were to John, but now God speaking from the heavens. This is my beloved Son, hear you him. He's now my spokesperson. You're all dead. For in Adam all died. Death passed upon all men. All had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Nobody had come into the earth that could speak to a dead man's spirit and bring it to life again. Nobody could come address the death within a human being's nature, the spiritual death. But now the hour has come where God is going to address that. He said, and the dead, you'll all hear now the voice of the Son of God, because you're coming out of death into light. I am now ready to translate you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Amen. It's the dead. As in Adam, all died. He was addressing his dispensation, but he couldn't do that till he went to the cross. He said, but greater works than these shall you do in my name, because you're going to represent me in a greater work now that you can, through the administration of my name and the power of the Holy Spirit, take a dead man's spirit and raise it to life again. Isn't that awesome? The dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth. Who was that? Jesus. He raised him and quickened. Even so the Son will quicken whom he will. That's you. Those who come to him. He'll quicken them. He that heareth the word and believeth on him that sent me. Now, verse 25, verily I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is. Well, you're in the hour. Do you realize that he said this the night before? This is his final night. He goes, the hour is now. I'm going to the cross. Within 3 days, the administration of this operation will be in the earth. The dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. Every dead man walking. Do you know the world are dead men walking? They don't even know it. They're walking in a dead world, all its sin falling short of the glory of God. Death passed upon all men. As in Adam, all died. He said, now that dead spirit can hear my voice, and I'll call them out of death. I'll translate them out of the darkness into the marvelous light. That was the greater work that you. I'm like, God, if that was the greater work, why can't we do the secondary work? What is up with that? Oh, he's going to tell you how this works. Look at verse 25 real quick. Verily I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is. The dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. I remember when I heard his voice the first time I was dead. I didn't even know it. The first time I was in Austin, Texas, sitting at 2 o'clock in the morning, listening to Jimmy Swagger. That was when he was in his prime. And I had just piles of cocaine in front of me and everything else you could imagine. And I was looking at all that and I heard him. I said, and I responded. See, my dead spirit responded to the life. And I washed about $2,500 worth of cocaine down the sink that night. I mean, it's like, golly, are you kidding? But what I wasn't ready, though, I don't know how to explain that. I just wasn't quite ready, and I went back into that. But then there's another time I came to Houston, make a long story short, and I went to church with my mom. She'd been praying for me. And I just said, okay, Mom, I'm going to go to church for you. I'll just go, and then I got to go back to Austin. I went to Lakewood Church that night, my dead spirit. I think I repented the first night, but that my dead spirit heard the voice of the Son of God. And I responded, and I walked the death walk down to the altar, you know, cameras and all this. I had a big deal, drug deal. I was going to do that following Tuesday in L.A. and had to call them and said, I don't think I'm going to be doing that anymore. They all showed up at my door. What's the matter with you? What's going on here, huh? I said, look, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. That's all I know. He's a new creation. I am not the same person I was. The dead heard the voice of the Son of God. I'm like, God, if that's an eternal spirit being brought and raised from the dead, that eternal spirit was crucified with Christ. He was buried in baptism. When Christ didn't go to hell for him, he went for you. He took your eternal spirit, that nature, and he took it all the way to hell where it belonged. He said, I'll just bury it down there. It won't come out. And then I'll wait for the Father. When he raises me, he will raise you in resurrection life. And that new man has a right to stand in the Father's glory. Raised in resurrection as a new creation. Don't anybody tell you you're a sinner saved by grace. You're a new creation. You have every right to be in the Father's glory and be loved of the Father. The dead will hear. Okay, and they that hear... See, they got to hear. I heard. Even though I was dead, I heard. See, Jesus had the power to call them from the dead. See, your dead spirit could hear his voice. Though you're dead, you could hear the voice calling. And they that hear would live. I'm living. Now watch this. Verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself... Now we're getting into the in you, Christ in you. So hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he was the Son of Man. What kind of judgment was he executing? He was executing the judgment upon your spiritual death. He had the authority to speak to the dead. He was calling your dead spirit, which was eternal, out of darkness into light. See, and if you heard his voice and responded to the call, he would translate you out of darkness into the marvelous light. And what happened? The same life that was in the Father, which passed into the Son, is now in you. And that life is called living water, eternal life. Everlasting life. I'm like, God, if I've got eternal life in me, if the church, where is it? He said, it's in lockdown. But I have something that's going to open. And when the water breaks, that is an eternal wellspring that will break. And when it breaks open, it'll break into the earth. Now watch, he also addresses the Old Testament saints now in Abraham's bosom. Verse 28 says, marvel not at this. The hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Not only while speak to the dead walking, those that are in the graves in Abraham's bosom, they're going to hear his voice. Called them all out of Abraham's bosom, brought them into the heavens. Man, what a glorious day that was. How'd you mean like the waiting 3,000 years for him to show up? He shows up, time to go now. We're going to your inheritance I've purchased for you. Wow. I'd have liked to have been there. But I like our dispensation a lot. The hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They'd have done good unto the resurrection of life. They got resurrected right there. The other ones get to wait for their resurrection. They'd have done evil. They're going to get to wait for their resurrection. They're going to get resurrected to the white throne judgment. They're going to come out of one part of hell, resurrected to the white throne judgment, and then they're going to be cast in the lake of fire. That's not very fun days. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world. You were already condemned. You were a fallen world. Why would I come and condemn you any more than you are already condemned? That's why it said in John 1, verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. It's the life I want to talk to you about now. Because God wants to unlock the reservoir of life. He wants to unlock the reservoir of eternal life. Let's get it out of salvation for a minute. Let's get it within you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's a wellspring of eternal life abiding in you. Amen. Now what we're going to do is learn how to unlock that reservoir to let that living water not flow, eternal water flow. We have a problem right now because that water is on lockdown. Because the same faith that takes you to ascend in the right hand, let me show you. You go up into the right hand, and the right hand's here. Let me show you that. But if you'll go to Psalms 36, you really want to hear what I'm going to say on Thursday. Now watch this. Everyone understand the greater works now? Greater works is that God will take a dead man's spirit and bring it to life. As the Father had life in himself, he's given to the Son to have life, and the Son executes the judgment. You get to be a part of the greater works, because when you lead someone to the Lord through the administration of that name, the greater work is God can take a dead spirit and raise it from the dead, an eternal spirit, and raise it from the dead. Not Jesus himself couldn't do that. He goes, greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father, and I'm making a way for them to come with me and for you to come with me. I'm like, Jesus, if you could do greater works, if you know how easy that is for us as a church. You know, the early church struggled with that hard. How a man could be made the righteousness of God. And especially those that kept the law forever, because they, and that was what Paul contended with. He says, no, you got to be made righteous by keeping the word. He says, no. He said, the Gentiles do by new nature the things contained in the law or law in themselves. It's within you. He wrote it within you. They struggle with that. We don't struggle with that, do we? You know how easy that is for us? to lead someone to the Lord. Nobody has an issue. Yeah, when you lead them to the Lord, their dead spirits raised into life. We don't struggle with that. Do you understand the incredible nature of an eternal spirit being raised from the dead? You're really, because that eternal spirit's going to undergo a baptism, crucified with Christ. He's baptized into death, and then the Father's going to raise him through resurrection life and seat him at his right hand. That's a pretty great work. I'm like, Lord, why is it we don't have an issue with a greater work? We can do that so easy. How come we can't be like you? Which is easier, say your sins are forgiven or rise up and walk? This rise up and walk stuff is our problem because we don't have any demonstration. So nobody's listening to us. It's because we're asking them to believe word only doctrine, word only gospel. See, that or we present it real good. We get the crowds either through presentation or we get to the crowds through seeker-friendly type things, put a coffee bar in the lobby. I like coffee bars. But, you know, just anything that'll get people to come. But the world's not impressed because there's no demonstration. I said, why is it we can do that and not this other? That's what he's answering. I said, you're going to have to unlock the eternal wellspring of life within you. Because that life is what I'm going to anoint. The Holy Spirit's going to anoint the life. If you don't know how to get it unlocked, if you don't know how to come into the right hand of the Father, you probably won't know how to go to the right hand of the Father within. Did you know the right hand of the Father is within you? Okay, Christ is in you, remember, and the Father's in him, and the Holy Spirit's in there? That's hard, isn't it? How about this? You're the temple of the living God. The indwelling of God dwells in your temple. Then the right hand of the Father is in you. I know, I told you, I hadn't even got you the right hand of the Father yet. How can I get you to the Father within? You're going to get there. We are going to get there. You're not going to get there through desire alone or even hunger. You have to get there by what this word says about it and our faith in this, because we won't make it. We'll fall short. Amen. I want to get you to Ezekiel's river and show you the incredible parallels of Ezekiel's river. Because when it got overhead, he turned it to the Dead Sea of humanity, and everything that was dead lived again. And there's a great multitude of fish. That river came out of the temple. Well, let me just give you a little bit of it right now. Just go to Ezekiel 47. Let me give you a little bit. We've been talking about the right hand of the Father. We be in Christ, and Christ is in the Father. So we're in the Father. Now Christ is in us. The Father's in him. The Holy Spirit's in him. All that has been going like this, okay? Go to Psalms 36, and I'll take you to Ezekiel, verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in, where? The heavens. Where are you seated? At the right hand of the Father, in heavenly places, raised together, made to sit together, Ephesians 2:6. Come boldly, therefore, to the throne of grace. Everyone has no problem the mercy being in the heavens. He's going to span the entire height and depth of God. This will help you understand the depth of God within you. All right? Thy righteousness is like the great mountain, so he drops into our atmosphere. He goes to the heavens, and he drops it into the atmosphere of the great mountains. Amen? Thy mercy is in the heavens. Thy faithfulness reaches to the clouds. So you got the heavens, and then the faithfulness reaches into the clouds, okay? And then you get the mountains. You drop from the atmosphere clouds into the mountains. This is the earth. And then thy judgments are in the great deep. See that? So you've got the right hand of the Father, then you have atmosphere, mountains, and then the great depth, the judgments of God and the depth of Christ in you. How far deep, how deep. That's why Paul said, I pray that you know the breadth, the length, the height, the depth. Remember the circle? Length, width, height, depth. See, God's not just this way. God's here into the depths, but he's not down that way. He's into the depths. Christ in you. To the breadth, the length, the height. Height, breadth, length, depth. See that? Now, if you'll understand, the Holy Spirit will start teaching you. Once you understand when you're ascending, He can turn that around, and you can also, for lack of a better word, descend into the right hand through the depth of Christ in you. Now, Madame Guyon learned how to do this. Some of the old great ones knew how to tap into Christ in them. Amen? Right now, He's just trying to teach you how to break jurisdictional boundary, and so it's easier to go up when you do that. Because when you're very self-centered, especially when your mind controls your life, it's very hard to reach in past that self-centeredness because your mind's controlling everything and you got to get up and do all that and your body functions, so it's easier to jump up out this way. You got that? You ever sat down with God and you can't sit still? It's a lot of flesh activity. It's very hard to reach inward that way. So it's better to use your faith to reach out of that operation. You follow me? I'm teaching you some heavy stuff, but you can also go in. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Verse 7, the children of men put their trust where? Under the shadow of your wings. That's Psalm 91. Where's that at? Right hand of the Father. You're under the shadow of your wings, see. All right. Verse 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, thy kingdom, thy temple, thy government. And thou shalt make them drink of the river of your pleasures. What's that? That's the river of eternal life. If any man cometh to me, he shall drink. If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. We got to learn how to drink of the reservoir of life. To do that, your faith is going to have to reach past your jurisdictional boundaries of flesh, atmosphere, and second heaven. If you don't do that, you're not going to drink. You're just going to walk around as a son of God, encased in a flesh creature body. Amen? They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of the house that makes them drink of the river of that pleasure. For with thee is a fountain of life. And in thy life, in thy light we see light. Oh, continue thy loving kindness to them who know thee. Amen? Ezekiel 47. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool what's in the Psalms? You know why? Because David transcended his covenant and he understood. He walked in ours through a kind of righteousness. That's why he got to see all these things. He understood them better than we do. I'm like, that man did it with a spiritually dead nature. I am not about to stand before him and tell him I couldn't do it in the dispensation where it belonged to me. We have a lot to say to him if we get up there and we never passed into what he passed in being dead. He heard the word speak to him in the old covenant when the dispensation for the word speaking to the dead wasn't even available. He heard it. Ezekiel 47, verse 1, afterward he brought me again to the door of the house. This is the temple. He brought him to the temple. Where is the temple? You are the temple. Where does God live? In you. Right? Waters issued from under the threshold of the temple. Waters issued from under the threshold. Remember the woman at Samaria? Woman, if you knew who spoke to thee, I'd give you living water. Where is this living water that I may drink? She goes, it shall be in you, a wellspring that'll spring up all the way into everlasting life. It'll never stop. The water's inside the temple. It's underneath. It's in the depths. See? That's why the depths of the ocean. See, you got the height of the heaven, but the depths of the ocean's within you because that's where all the water is. See, it's when you see these things, your faith will reach in. How about when the spiritual rock followed them around in the wilderness? When it come time, what did he say? Moses, speak to the rock. And that rock was Christ. Where is Christ? In you. Speak to the rock and it'll feed the nation. It'll bring forth its water. Millions will drink of it. 3 million people drink of that water come out of that rock. How many is going to drink out of yours? It's eternal. Waters issued from under, within. You're the temple. God's in you. The living water's in the temple. It's in the foundation. This is so awesome. Look at this. They issued eastward, for the forefront of the house stood towards the east. Look at this. And the waters came down from under, from the right side of the temple. Where'd the waters come from? Where does God live? Within you? And where's God? The right hand of God? Where's the water coming from? Coming from the right side of the temple. Jesus passed into the heavens, sat down at the right hand of God. You passed into the heavens. But then all that came into you in the eternal life in there, and the water's going to flow out of the right hand or the right side of the temple. See that? Isn't that good? In case you didn't get it, he gave it to you again in verse 2. At the last part of the verse, it says, there ran out waters on the right side. The water's going to run from the right hand of the Father. Isn't that awesome? That's why, when you're going up or within, you're going to find him. The whole key is you got to get in there and get him. But the waters, when they flowed, they went into the ankles, and there was something happened there. Knees went into the birthing center of the loins, and they went overhead. Okay, we're going to get waters to swim in. That's where the water's going to break, and it's going to overtake us. The living water is going to overtake us. I'm going to get into the miracles of Jesus. The first miracle, he was actually teaching you how to do it. You know that he did not touch the water pots in the wedding of Cana of Galilee? He didn't touch them. He did not touch the water pots. He told the servants, you go fill the water pots with water and bear them. The governor didn't even know he did the miracle. Only the servants knew he did it. What he said, fill the water pots. There were 6 water pots. Number of man, fill them with water. Fill them to the brim until we go up overhead. See what Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, full of the life. See, the life is going to release. When we release the life by revelation, it's going to fill the temple. When it fills it, it's going to break out. When it goes over, when it comes up out of your authority as a man, then the Holy Spirit's going to come and anoint the life when it breaks into the overflow. And when he anoints the life, here's what's going to happen. Woo! Is revelation flowing or what? Look at this. Verse 5, and after he measured 1,000, it was a river. You can run 1,000 cubits pretty fast. I think they were doing it in cubits in the spirit. It was a river that I could not pass over. The waters were risen. Oh, you got that right. The waters are going to rise from the foundation of the temple, Christ in you. Waters to swim in. Swimming in the living water of God that could not be passed over. Then said unto me, these waters issue towards the east country and go down into the desert. Yep, they're going to flow into the desert. We're about to give the world a big old drink of God. They're not going to hate you when you hand them the cup of living water. They only hate you when you hand them religion. When you start handing the world the cups of living water, they're going to love you because there's nothing like the living water. Amen. It's going to flow into the desert. We're about to have some revival, my friends. Y'all better get ready. It's going to be a revival of life. Your body won't be worn out. You'll be so replenished in the life. I always wondered about that. Sometimes I'd get under an anointing and I'd be so replenished, and other times it just wiped me out, because the anointing of the gift realm will take its toll on your body, but the anointing that comes from the life realm will actually rejuvenate every part of you while it flows out of you. Okay, then verse 8, the waters issue toward the east and go down into the desert and go into the sea. Uh-oh, what sea? Are the waters? Waters going into the sea? They that go down to the sea of humanity do business, great waters. Now this sea is actually the Dead Sea. This is the Dead Sea, which being brought forth into the Dead Sea, the waters were healed. See, these living waters are going to flow into the Dead Sea of humanity, and all that is dead is going to live again. Their waters are going to be healed. God's going to take a Dead Sea of humanity and turn it to life. Woo! All that's in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Booyah! Verse 9, and we'll close. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. Every dead body, every blind, lame, maimed, whole, halt, withered. When that river flows, you're not going to have to wonder whether God's going to do it. That river is going to flow right up out of you, the eternal life. And as soon as it reaches out of the barrier of overflow within your human function and capacity, the Holy Spirit, once it passes through your authority, then God has the right to anoint it. And the Holy Spirit will be right there and He'll anoint the life. Wow. And when He anoints the life, look at this. Whithersoever the rivers shall live, there shall be a, it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish. You got that right. Because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. Well, this city doesn't have an open heaven. There's no such thing. When the rivers of living water inside of you, you carry the open heaven with you because it's in you. Oh, my God, everything that's dead in the Dead Sea is going to live again. That means you, too. The dead parts of you are going to revive. What'd he say? I'll quicken your mortal body. That river of life is going to spring up and start quickening your body, quickening the dead cells within your own body. You're going to be walking around like a light bulb for heaven, anointed like by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? Let's stand to our feet and give Him glory. Hallelujah!